is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The New World Report with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute, Latin American Research Professor. Climate change and the New World. Especially we go to a report on melting glaciers. This is Reuters. Melting mountain glaciers pose a growing flood risk to 15 million people around the world. Runoff from melting glaciers, pools, and shallow lakes held back by rocks and debris. The risk comes when a lake overfills. We go to Latin America because we're looking at the risk in Peru. We're looking at the risk in Chile. This report says scientists have assessed the first time how many people globally are at risk. Danger is highest, they report, in a study published in Nature Communications. The quote, "Our work does not just focus on the size or number of glacier lakes. No disaster is natural. It is the presence of people, especially vulnerable people, in the landscape that causes a disaster." Collectively, the world's glaciers lost about 332 gigatons of ice between 2006 and 2016. Since 1990, the number and volume of glacial lakes worldwide have each increased by about 50%. Glacial lakes, we're not talking about the glaciers themselves, the lakes from the melt-off. And it's worldwide. It's not concentrated in the New World, but the reports from the New World point to Chile and Peru and especially. And this is an unknown, so I'm bringing it before us because the professor has agreed that the unknowns cannot be filled in. It's time to report on what might be happening. Professor, a very good day to you. Is this a concern of the state governments of all these countries affected? Peru, for example, we're going to speak of later. Chile. Do they talk about it? Do they concern themselves about, in the event of a catastrophe and the lake barrier breaking and coming down into the lowlands?
John, climate change is certainly becoming increasingly a topic of discussion across the region in different ways. And oftentimes, climate change, warming temperatures in some places with impacts, such as the increased melting of glacial ice, but also other things like the increasing number of extreme weather events, which, for example, has become a topic of concern in the Caribbean with respect to a number of seasons with increased number of hurricanes and tropical storms of increased severity, increased severity of weather events such as El Niño, La Niña, which can produce extreme flooding in some areas and extreme drought in other areas. But one of those manifestations that's now being talked about, this new Nature magazine published study, is the risk from glacial ice melting. And because you have a number of glaciers and glacial ice in the high mountains that runs throughout the Andes, parts in the south of Chile and Patagonia, but also in Peru and elsewhere. The magazine identifying some of those communities that are in the path of glacial runoff as at risk if the glaciers end up basically the retention ponds that come to form break very rapidly and affect the communities who are basically there oftentimes using the fresh drinkable water that comes from that glacial runoff. And so, highlighting that Peru being at risk from that, those communities in the mountains of what they call the Sierra, as well as other areas along the Andes chain. It highlights the number of different ways in which climate change is affecting the region and being talked about across the region.
The other part of climate change is the suggestion that it's leading to more and more ferocious fires. There is the report from Chile of a vast fire running out of control for some days. And the Chilean authorities are saying climate change. There is no way to demonstrate that. We had the fires out west last year, but not this year. So it could be periodic. Contributing to it is the fuel, that is the undergrowth that is not cleared out. And also bad actors set fires. I believe there have been arrests in Chile accusing people of setting fire. However, the question again is these weather patterns. I say that I've reported out of Australia for months now unusual weather patterns. It's in the same global south, so it experienced summer in our winter months. And Australia is not convinced that it's climate change, but it's certainly strange to have snow in Victoria in the summertime, to have flooding in from Queensland to Victoria through New South Wales all during the spring and the previous fall, and then high temperatures in Queensland while we have snow in Victoria. Very odd. Now, it could be something ordinary like La Nina or the Antarctic surge coming up, and it also could be strange. Have you seen reports of unusual weather patterns in South America across the Andean chain into Brazil?
There have been, John, over recent years, an increased number of extreme weather events. And specifically, when you talk about drought, we can remember, for example, that in Brazil and to an extent in Bolivia in 2020, there were an unprecedented number of fires. And of course, this was reported on in conjunction with deforestation during the regime of Jair Bolsonaro in Brazil, but also applied to other places. And so what's going on in Chile is along a similar phenomenon. You had also extreme drought events affecting the south of Brazil and the north of Argentina in recent years. However, Chile, especially the area of the middle southern Chile, had been under about 12 years of record droughts. Things appeared to be getting a little bit better with the return of the rainy season. And so actually this November, they were talking about hopes of the end of that. But now you have had a series of record fires in the Mall district. I understand that something like 293,000 hectares of forest land has been damaged this year, some 82 separate fires. And as you pointed out, as happens in the United States, whenever you have extreme dry conditions, anybody that does anything that could lead to a fire, that has been criminalized. So that's, hence the arrests for things like arson. But it's difficult to say whether the increased number of weather events, there's a tendency because we talk about global warming to associate all of those extreme weather events with global warming. But certainly the drought as well as other events has been associated with that phenomenon generally. And also, as you talk about, John, even things like El Nino and La Nina, for example, La Nina can produce more rains and conditions in the north, even while it produces excessive dryness in the south. But the idea is even there, and increased change in water temperatures will bring about even more severe El Nino or La Nina phenomena. And so even that can be tied into climate change, affecting temperatures across the continent and things like rainfall across the continent.
I'm reading a new history of the indigenous peoples in the New World, dating back 15,000, 20,000 years, when people first came across Beringia, either traveling down the coast, the west coast in canoes, skin canoes, or walking through as the glacier retreated and the ice opened up. And what is striking, Evan, over 15,000 years, but are particularly documented in the second and first millennium BCE, and then into the first millennium AD, is that climate is given as a reason for major decisions made by indigenous people to either consolidate their agriculture or decentralize. For example, climate change, dry conditions or wet conditions, and especially when there's a drought, led to, in North America, not building empires as they did in Central America and South America, but having lots of scattered population centers across North America. It's all new theory to me. The reason I bring it up is because climate change has always been part of the consideration of the peoples of the New World as long as we've been here. It's not fresh. It doesn't require us to rationalize the way we conduct civilization. It's something that people respond to, sometimes catastrophically. In other words, it's been understood to be the end of certain major civilized centers in South America and Central America. And the reason I mention that, Evan, is that I don't want to attach blame to this. I just want to see a phenomenon. And right now, my reading says we cannot conclude this is climate change. We have to wait. It could be a cycle of on again, off again. For example, California went through 3 years of bad drought. It just got the whole ocean dumped on it in about 2 weeks' time. And they're saying that they're only moderate drought or no drought at all, with a snowpack that is of, well, the last time I checked, it was something like 500 inches. I mean, just an enormous snowpack in the north that will lead to the replenishment of the aquifer. Now, you read generally, you have the Spanish and the Portuguese, you read generally. Do they talk about these climate events as profound and single, or something that they have to wait on? What is the opinion across all these different governances?
Well, certainly in Latin America and the Caribbean, as in other parts of the world, kind of understanding the increased number of severe weather events and indications of overall increased levels of temperature and increased sea levels comes to be ascribed to climate. And so, again, as you know, John, I work with the armed forces across the region, and I see that even there, apart from the discourse by governments and environmental groups, you increasingly see the armed forces even looking at the role of climate change. So, for example, when you have an increased numbers of hurricanes and tropical storms in the Caribbean, that makes Caribbean and other armed forces who are responsible for helping to respond to those type of things, think about how that will affect their future mission set. I know, for example, the Mexican Army, although certainly having other difficulties with organized crime and insecurity, has given increased attention to climate change as a phenomenon that impacts their mission set. Again, I having worked with the Uruguayan army, for example, in the southeast, I can tell you that things like those bands of drought, which have created demands for the Uruguayan army to support broader government efforts to bring potable water to drought affected areas, deal with evacuations and migrations in places like Honduras. Again, the Honduran state and armed forces, part of those events that we would say have to do with broader phenomena like hurricanes or other things. But if you ascribe the severe droughts in Honduras, again, it's things that across governments, however you understand, what these events should be called. It's increasingly discussed not only by governments and NGO groups, but by a range of other actors, including many of the security forces across Latin America, as affecting their mission set in supporting their governments and populations and dealing with some of the socioeconomic instability that these events can create. So again, it's ambiguous whether how the cycle will play out, but certainly when you see these the droughts and in the fires in the current discourse, that is understood in this thing that we increasingly call climate change.
Professor Avenelis, U.S. Army War College, he mentions national security. We're going to that story, and it includes a balloon in South America. I'm John Batchelor.
Over the past few years, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected how we live our daily lives. Today, we also face a mental health pandemic that threatens our well-being as we attempt to rebuild our social networks and communities.
The pandemic has reminded us to value family, community, and our human connections. However, it has also left many of us feeling more isolated, confused, and alone, struggling to find meaning amid loss and uncertainty.
Today, 1 in 5 Americans experience emotional and mental health challenges. But many of us do not understand what we are facing or know how to ask for help.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we understand what you are going through, and we are here to help. Our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. We work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental health. If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.